Blog Talk Radio.
Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. You're listening to thinkbigradio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. We'd like to thank you all for your continued support and spreading the word about thinkbigradio.com. Have you spread the word today?
Good evening. Hey, hey, hey. Welcome to Miss Rain. Renew your life. Yes, we will be renewing our lives today with an amazing, outstanding speaker, writer, life changer, big baller, shot caller, and my sorority sister. Hey. So today we have on our show Dr. Adria E. Luster, who will be talking about overcoming obstacles in your daily living. Now, I'm going to stop talking, and I'm going to introduce you to Dr. Luster. If you can tell us, Dr. Luster, a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a native of Topeka, Kansas, and that's where you and I met, at Washington University.
Right, right.
And I'm a resident of Atlanta, Georgia, for about 20 years, and I'm an educator in the city's public school system, and I've been doing that for about 20 years, first as a teacher, and now as an educational coach. I'm married to a really great guy, Mr. John Luster. I'm a parent to 4 adult children and a grandmother to 3 very spoiled grandchildren, and I'm going to plead the 5th on who spoiled them. But that's pretty much my life. I spend my life motivating people to make a change in their life, to overcome obstacles, and to strive for success.
Awesome, awesome. Yes, I know those grandbabies. Girl, why didn't we have grandbabies first? So, listen, I know, right? I am looking at this information, and it is like, wow. I cannot believe some of this information that you're presenting. Like, why don't people do this? Why don't people, you know, try to change their life for the better?
Well, you know, change is hard, and we are naturally creatures of habit. And so, when we're asked to change or when we're confronted with reasons to change, sometimes we don't want to take that first step. You know, we let fear and other things hold us back. And really, when you think about it, fear is just false evidence appearing real. You know, sometimes we give fear power. We give it power over our lives. And really, when we really take that step, we realize that some of our fears are unrealized and they're really not as important as we think they are.
Wow, that is so true. That is so true. When you think about it, some people are so afraid of what they have created in their mind to that when it's actually real and they actually do it, they're like, why didn't I do this sooner? So, but what I do know is that you have talked about some of these things in your not one, not two, but your 3rd book, okay? So what inspired you to become an author?
Well, you know me from way back, and I've always been a writer. I remember us even working on campus and me submitting poems for the underground newspaper that we had. I don't know if you remember that, but it's always been a
I do. I got copies of it.
Way back. But in 2013, I went in for what I thought was just a routine checkup, and they said, oh, you need to come back. We've got some test results we want to talk to you about. And I heard 3 words that really changed my life and changed my outlook on life. 3 words that I would never hope that anyone else had to hear. But the words I heard were, you have cancer. And when I heard that, my first thought was all of the goals and dreams that I had fulfilled. You know, I've been an educator. I raised my children. I've done a lot of things, and I felt successful. But deep down, I felt that there was more that I wanted to do. And so when I had that time off going through, you know, months of chemo and treatment, I said, if I have to leave, I'm going to see my name on a book somewhere. And so believe it or not, I even lugged my laptop to chemo session just to write that first book, just to get it out. And once I got over the fear of thinking about what others thought, because, you know, the fear of death is pretty strong, and it could be a real impetus
right.
to push you to action. But Also, the one thing I would tell people is don't wait to do something until it's on your bucket list. You know, if you want to take a trip,
right,
if you want to write a book, if you want to, you know, go skydiving, don't wait until you're facing death to make that choice like I did. But at any rate, I did. I wrote my first novel, which was a historical fictional work called Coconut Cake. And then after that, I started thinking, well, okay, I survived. And now that I have a second chance, I want to inspire other people to not make the same mistake that I did. And so I wanted to motivate others. And so I was a co-author with a book with Ruben West called Live Your Best Life, Answer the Call. And I also served as an author after writing that book and talking to people. I said, you know what, maybe I should write a book that really addresses some of those things that held me back. You know, how you can overcome adversity. What are some steps that you can take to success? And so that's really what motivated me to start writing. And all of my books are available on my website, which is www.adrialuster.com. That's ADRIALUSTER.com. And they're also available on Amazon. So my fictional work is written under my pen name, Elise Massey. It is called Coconut Cake. I've also, again, written, co-authored a book with Ruben West called Live Your Best Life, Answer the Call. And finally, my last book that I want to discuss tonight is Overcoming Adversity, Seven Steps to Success.
Great. Now, let's go into that one. You've given us some information on your first two books, which is awesome. Please go out and pick those books up. Now, if you don't have any adversity, raise your hand. Oh, I didn't see the hands
right.
go up. So. So everybody has some adversity in some shape, form, or fashion. Today, tell us about your third book, Overcoming Adversity, Seven Steps to Success.
Well,
what inspired you to write
about
that?
I want to share with everyone the secret to being successful. Okay, are you ready? Here it is.
Yes.
Success consists of getting up just one more time and you fail.
Mm.
No matter what you're doing.
Mm.
Whether you're trying, think back to when you learned to ride a bike. You fell off, you skinned your knee, what'd you do? You got back up and you kept going until you eventually were successful. And so if you're living and breathing, you're going to have problems, you're going to endure obstacles, you're going to have adversity, but that adversity also makes us stronger. And I think sometimes
right.
when we face it, we feel like we're the only one. We like to wallow in it. But once we endure it, sometimes you look back on it and you realize that there was either a lesson or a blessing. You know, think about childbirth. If you're a mother, I know I'm a mother. I know you are. There's a lot of pain involved.
Right.
You know, definite adversity.
Right.
But the blessing that comes from it is really life-changing. And you reflect on
right.
that experience, makes you a better person. So, you know, in thinking about that, I thought about, you know, sometimes when we go through adversity, we think that we're the only people there, we're the only ones that are enduring it. And just by going through some exercises, we can look at some ways that we can overcome that adversity, maybe through different steps, maybe by some reflection, but also by considering the fact that you're probably not going through it alone, or you're probably not the first person to endure that problem. And sometimes we get in our feelings
right.
and don't like to reach out, don't like to get advice, but really sometimes that is the key. So, you know, even myself, I can see from experience, you know, a few months ago spoke at a conference with the great Les Brown, and it was going to be streamed among thousands of viewers. And I remember being so nervous, having fear to just stand up and speak. You know, I thought about my appearance, you know, camera adds 10 pounds, you know, I'm not a supermodel size, but I decided too that I could let the fear overpower me, you know, and fear is strong. It really is. It's a reality, but sometimes we have to think we can't let it grip us and keep us in our tracks. You know, you ever think about when you were young and you watched the scary movies and how the girl would get so scared she'd trip over a blade of grass and just lay there and you're like, run, run, get up, you know, that kind of thing. It's funny to us. But fear can do that. It can immobilize you. And so I know that once I endured that experience, afterwards I got a lot of positive feedback with people saying to me, you know, I didn't know you had it in you, or you did a good job. And I always reflect on what if I hadn't taken that first step? What if I hadn't gotten on the stage?
Right.
You know, I've never known that I could overcome the fear. And just like most things, once you do it, as you continue to do it and you practice, you get better and better and you become more comfortable.
Right. Right, because that could have been your blade of grass where you were laying in a horror movie, laying down, looking at your success just float away. So now let's talk about the steps to overcoming adversity. So you said you have 7 steps. Now we know we don't have time for you to delve deep into all 7, but give us a Reader's Digest version of some of the steps. Now what's the first step? Because it's obviously not falling on that blade of grass.
Definitely. But you have to identify the problem. You know, sometimes we give our problems more power than they deserve, and we don't really get to the root of the problem and recognize that oftentimes there are patterns that we keep repeating in our lives. You know, do you know someone? I know people who always have drama in their lives, whether it's the people at the job,
all the time, just
relationship, blah, 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 blah. And for whatever reason, those are always the people that want to call you and talk about it. And so, you know, after a while, when you see their number show up, you ignore the call because you realize they just want to vent. Because deep down, they really like that drama, you know? And, you know, when you tell them, well, you know, maybe you should do this, sometimes they don't even want to take your advice because they don't really want to change. And so sometimes we have to identify that problem. We have to look at the root of the problem. You know, if you are always having relationship issues, whether it's with your coworkers or, you know, with your spouse or with your family, maybe there are some things in you that might be at the root of the problem that you need to change. And like I said before, for some of us, change is hard. And that honesty, that level of honesty and accepting the fact that we're not perfect, is hard for some people. And so instead of wanting to take that path, they decide to stay in their ways. You know, sometimes I've heard people say things like, well, you know, my daddy had a bad temper and I got a bad temper and that's the way I am and that's how I do. But those are just excuses because at some point you have to decide to change. You know, if that bad temper, you know, lands you in a jail cell or costs you a job or costs you a relationship, you can't put the blame on the temper. You have to say, you know what, I recognize that I have some issues that I need to overcome. And by doing that, it helps you to grow as a person. And that's the important part. You know, as we mature and as we learn things, we have experiences, we grow.
Right. That, and, you know, some of these people walk around as though they're being directed 24 hours a day with all this drama that they have. That is ridiculous.
Right. So, you know, if you watch some reality, you definitely see individuals, you know, all the, you know, housewives, girlfriends, side chick shows, whatever you want to call them. But there's always a character that just seems to thrive on it. And so, you know, every episode, somebody's fighting, someone's arguing. But it's entertaining, you know, for the viewer. But at the same time, if that is really someone's life, then they're really not being productive. Because you can't.
And no safe form or fashion.
And they're so informal. Right.
Right. And it is sad that some people actually see that and think that that is a real way of life, which it is not. That is fake television. Because when some of these people go home, they can't do all that stuff that they're saying they do in front of the camera. There's some behind-the-camera stuff that we don't see.
Definitely. And again, if that is a person's life, is that the kind of life that you want to live, you know, where you don't have any real friends, no one really trusts you, you know, you're 40 years old, and then when you get angry, you start to fist fight someone, you know, that's not really a productive life. You would say to yourself, well, maybe if they were, you know, 17 or 18, that might be an acceptable behavior, even if it's wrong, but by 40, you would have learned a lesson. And so, you know, not saying anything against everyone that's on reality TV, but I'm just saying sometimes, you know, when you watch it, you say to yourself, this cannot be a productive reality for you.
Definitely. You know, because I think about, you know, some of the times where you've heard someone say, oh, I will fight you, and you have to think to yourself, I was like, oh, Lord Jesus, I am beyond the fighting age, okay? We're in the conversation aid, and let's get a lawyer.
Right.
Okay, this is the stage I'm at. We need to get a lawyer because
right.
I'm fragile.
Definitely. Yeah, you know,
so okay.
Benefits and an insurance plan. You should be past the body mates. I agree. You know,
excuse me. Hello.
You know, come from behind the cash register. That might be a different story. Those, you know, high school, college age jobs. But yeah, once you mature and put your own, those types of behaviors, you know, those are things that you have to change. And again, sometimes we repeat patterns that we've learned, too. I mean, there are some people that honestly don't know how to change because those are patterns that they've seen and they're repeating them, and, you know, that's all they know. But it takes a really big person to accept the fact that, okay, I learned some things, and I'm seeing now that they're not fitting in with the path I want to take for my life. So how can I change?
Right. Right. Definitely. So, okay, we've identified the problem. Too much drama and not enough television. So what's next? So we've identified.
We've identified the problem. The next thing we have to do really is look at and address your contribution. How did you contribute to the drama? You know, did you light the match that started the fire? Did you throw the rock and then hide your hand? You know, you have to really stop and think about what role you played. And once you do that, you have to be honest enough with yourself to own up to it. And this is hard.
Definitely.
You know, think about when you were a kid and you fight your brother, your sister, and your mama said, you know, well, say you're sorry, and you're sorry, you know, or hug it out, and you kind of give a half hug. You don't really want to own up to being wrong. Or she makes you hug, and then you're giving them a side eye, like, I'm going to get you later. Again, that's not owning up. But you would expect that out of a child.
Right.
But as an adult, and again, I've seen adults, I've done it myself as an adult, where you still want to hold on to that anger because anger feels good, you know, and you want to hold on to that desire to want to seek revenge. But really, you have to stop and say, well, what role did I play? How can I own up to it? How can I move forward? Because I don't want to repeat this pattern again. You know, Albert Einstein said that, you know, insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. I mean, you can't cuss out all of your girlfriends and, you know, get in fights with everyone and then expect someone to really value you as a true friend. You're not going to get those results.
Right.
At some point, you have to make a change. And, again,
definitely.
Sometimes we have to think about our own self-esteem and our self-love. Do I love myself enough? Do I care about myself enough to make that change? Because that also takes a
definitely. And it's really sad when you think about it's sad when you see it on television, but it's sadder when you see it in real life, that you see people that are deliberately, like they drank so much of their own Kool-Aid that they really believe that everyone is out to get them and oblivious to all that they've done to make people out to get them.
Right. But, you know, I've been an educator for 20 years, and I've learned that we are all of some of our experiences. And I have to be honest with you, you know, working in inner city, working with a lot of children that are they're lacking in one way or another, you see a lot of children that go through a lot of adult experiences at a very young age. You know, children that are 12 and 13 and fending for themselves as if they're 21 or 22. And so you can see where that would affect a person's emotional growth. Might give them a jaded attitude about life or about adults. And I can understand that. We all have our baggage. We really do. But at the same time, there has to come a point where if you made a choice that you want to be different, that you don't want to live the lifestyle that others may have set forth for you, that you have to get on a different path. You know, you can't keep walking on the same road and thinking, well, I'm going to see something different. No, if you walk up and down the street for 20 years, you're going to see that same corner store and the same people and so on and so forth. So there has to come a point where you say, I want to go out on a different path. I want to make a change. I want to see a different journey. And that, again, is hard for some people to do.
It definitely is because some people are so – they have so much tunnel vision that they only can see what is in front of them, that they're missing everything in their periphery.
Yeah, that's true. And then some people have not been equipped with the skills to identify those other things that are missing. You know, sometimes if you don't know that you're lacking, you don't have an awareness of it, you might not realize that it is a necessity. And that's something that we have to consider too.
The next
step is, you know, looking at your strengths and your weaknesses, because we all have them. We all have natural talents. We all have personalities. We all have certain things in our personalities that make us successful in some areas and weaker in others. You know, I was a high school and middle school language arts teacher for a number of years, and I used to joke with the students, I'm good with math when there's numbers because it's like money. But when you start to throw some letters in about eighth grade, I struggle. I can't do letters and numbers. And the kids would laugh at me, but honestly, that was a struggle for me. That was a weakness. And I was honest enough to admit it. Sometimes when we realize what our weaknesses are, then we're comfortable with seeking help with them. And that's the other thing that people should be aware of. You know, if you say, well, you know, I'm not really good at this, I'm going to get the services of someone else. There's nothing wrong with doing that. You know, one of my favorite authors is Maya Angelou. And the reason why she's my favorite is not so much for her writing, but because to me her life really exemplifies a person that overcame so much, but at the same time was honest enough with herself to recognize where her strengths and her weaknesses were. You know,
that's right.
Even was young, her own mother, she even said later on, her mother, she said, my mother is not a good mother for young children, but she was a great parent for me as a young lady. Her own mother admitted, I can't raise you successfully, I'm going to send you with your grandmother. And, you know, sometimes we in our society have a tendency to judge people when they admit their shortcomings. But if you really stop and think about how strong of a woman she was to admit, you're three, your brother's four, I'm not really good with this, I think you'll be better with your grandmother. And I'm sure she was judged. But I also realized that her grandmother's influence was part of who made Maya Angelou who she is, why we're talking about her today, from her grandmother's influence. And so, again, I know that's an extreme example, but I do think that sometimes we're embarrassed or we're reluctant to admit when we fall short, and to recognize this isn't a strength for me. I need some assistance in this area. And so sometimes we need to recognize, too, that pattern to our behavior, that there's a reason why we fall in certain patterns, that we're not crazy. You know, in my book I have a questionnaire you can use to determine some of your strengths and weaknesses, and it also not only helps you determine those, but it gives you some scenarios of why some of those patterns exist in your life. And I think that's helpful to people to understand that they're not alone, that to understand that there are some skills that they can learn, but also to understand that some of those qualities is what makes them unique.
Definitely. And everyone, when they understand your, when you understand your strengths and weaknesses and you know what to go and how to outsource, these are things that take stuff off your plate. It causes you less stress. If you and you know, one of my shows was on the Superwoman syndrome. If you think you can do everything, you are deluding yourself. You can't. You cannot.
You can't.
And that causes all the stress. It causes unnecessary stress. You cannot be strong in every area. There are some areas that you're going to have some downfalls, and you know you're going to need somebody else. So that definitely.
And that a lot of times, especially for African American women, we don't like to admit that either, that we need help.
Oh, girl,
that's
no. I'm super strong.
We definitely, yeah.
Mm-mm. So, okay, what's the next step?
So, again, steps one, two, and three we've covered. And then the next step, which I'm not going to go into in depth, you can get them from my book, but after you've isolated your strengths and your weaknesses, I want you to also consider the fact that you have other skill sets that you need to address, and so you need to develop your strategy. Now that I know where I'm strong, I know where I'm weak, you know, how am I going to develop my strategies to overcome certain things? What are some things that I can do successfully? Determine your support. You know, where can
right.
I look for these resources? You know, I think about, you know, a lot of us, you know, battle with our weight. You know, you can't just get on the scale and say, oh, I want to lose weight. I want to lose weight. I don't like the numbers. At some point, you have to come up with a plan. And then you have to say, well, you know, I might not be as successful, so maybe I should get a trainer or someone to support me again. And
mm-hmm.
then designate the steps. What am I going to do? I'm going to work out X amount of times per week. I might change my eating patterns or whatever. And then finally, celebrate your success. You know, because
right.
let's say the weight loss example, oh, I lost 20 pounds. You know, I'm going to go on a cruise or, you know, I might buy a new outfit. Sometimes I think we fail to celebrate our successes. I think
right.
we take those things for granted. And I think that that's also something that we need to consider because those are things that we should be proud of. And with each success, we develop strength, we develop stamina, and when we see those obstacles again, we're much stronger. You know, think about
right.
when you were young, the first time you got your heart broken. You know, you got your feelings hurt. Maybe you're in middle school and the world's coming to an end. You know, now those are things that once you hit 40, you might laugh about. But at the time,
mm-hmm.
it seemed so real, you know, because you really hadn't developed your own emotional stability. And so just by going through those steps and developing your strength, then those obstacles that you may have thought were so great, they seem to diminish. And the next time you see them, either you can, you know, avoid them or dodge them, or, you know, even just recognize, well, I went through it this time, I can handle it again. And so that's something else
that
you need to consider.
Right. Because once you start thinking about it, one strategy may not be enough. So you might need to plot and plan
Definitely.
And get some different strategies. But I would tell you, you know, celebrating, you know, just the small victories. I, you know, went to the doctor. Oh, you're real close to having diabetes. You need to drop your A1C. Baby, listen. A sister was dropping that A1C in every step way possible. And I got it down a point, which puts me a further away from, you know, having insulin and diabetes. But I said, I'm going to drop it two more points. And so
right.
that means, you know, less bread, less potatoes, less pasta. And trust me, I love all three of those things. So if I had bread today, no pasta. If I had potatoes, no bread and pasta. Yeah, so, but it was, I had to make that decision, and I had to use a variety of different strategies because the bread
exactly.
started coming after me. And I knew just saying, I'm just going to cold turkey, cut out some bread. As soon as I said I need to cut out bread, everywhere I went, it was bread.
Right. Stay away from Golden Corral,
right.
Rose, but I got you. But, you know,
girl, listen. And every meeting I had was at Panera.
Right. And
like,
so
yeah.
one of the
so, you know,
you can't go mm-hmm. to that restaurant. Let's have a meeting, you know, somewhere, Doc Green's or somewhere we can get salads. I'm not trying
right.
to be funny, but by knowing your, you just exemplify that. Knowing your strengths, knowing your weaknesses.
Right.
And saying, right now, I'm not strong enough to go to Golden Corral because I'm going to see those rolls and they're going to call me. So now let's go
right.
to somewhere where the salad bar and they're not available. Now, through time, maybe 6 months from now, you might be able to sit there and say, oh, I'm okay. You know, it happens. But again,
right.
as we increase our willpower and we increase our strength, you know, we are able to overcome those obstacles. And that's really the point of the writing, no matter what your issue is. One of the things that the book has is writing exercises and I'm actually going to expand to even include a journal with it because a lot of people have expressed to me that that's something that they could use. But some of those writing exercises allow you to just individualize and to come up with strategies that apply to you because it might not be something
right.
so severe as, you know, having trouble in relationships. It could be something as simple as weight loss or as simple as getting a promotion
right.
on your job, you know, whatever. So, no, this
or
is not
saving money.
Right. It's not a book. It's for we hear the word adversity and we tend to think of it as, you know, something so dramatic and negative, but that's not necessarily true. You know, something that's adverse is just something that's going against what you would desire
right.
to happen. And so, yeah, it could be something as simple as saving money. You're right. Definitely.
Right. Now, we're at the halfway mark, so we're going to ask again for you to give us your contact information, how people can find
okay.
you, get your books.
Okay. So you can contact me through email at drluster777@yahoo.com. No punctuation, so it's drluster777@yahoo.com. Or reach out to me on Facebook, and my name there is Adria Jones Luster. Or follow me on Twitter, again, at drluster777. You also can reach out to me on my website, which is www.adrialuster.com, A-D-R-I-A-L-U-S-T-E-R.com. And I'm actually going to give a special gift to those people that subscribe tonight. If you subscribe, I'm going to send a gift out before the end of the week to you, the questionnaire that maybe you can get started with identifying some of your strengths and weaknesses and work on overcoming some adversities that you face in your life.
Awesome. Now, listeners, if you have a question for Dr. Luster, please press pound one, and I will see that you have raised your hand for a question, and I will come to you. If you have any questions, comments, you want some further information, expounding more, please press pound one, and I will see you, and I will definitely come to you. So while we're waiting to continue on with this session, let's do our, our station ID. Oh, no, that's the outro. Some of our files are gone. I'm going to have to ask about that. But we did have a station break in between time, but let's keep it going. All right. So we were at step four. I know, you just got to keep it rolling.
Yeah, I gave off 7 steps. Step four was develop your strategy, 5, determine your support, 6, designate your steps, and 7, celebrate your success. And, again, I don't want to go into each one in depth, but, again, my book is available on my website if you'd like to go more in depth with that.
Okay, listen. Now, you've talked about some of the different things and obstacles that people may be facing. Why do people hesitate? Why are they hesitant when it comes to this? It, in our mind, because this is what we do. This is where we go. You know, we have hesitation in some points. But why do people really see the change as so hard when in some instances, it can be so easy?
Like I said before, we are creatures of habit. That's our nature. And we have an innate desire for comfort and to be loved. Whether it's physical comfort, warmth, or emotional comfort, like security. And so notice these desires are things that are outside of ourselves. And so for this reason, even as adults, we don't always like to admit it, but we are strongly affected by what other people think, especially when it's our friends and our loved ones. We really, if you stop and think about it, we put a lot of emphasis there. Think back when you were a kid and you were 5 or 6 and one of your friends at school says, I don't like you, and, you cry and you feel really bad. I don't know if you've ever seen, there's a really popular video now of a little girl who's crying and her dad gives her a hug and she says, I'm crying because my friends said they don't like. I don't know if you've ever seen. He's a good-looking guy, actually. I think there's some big girls that wouldn't mind, crying on his shoulder. But my point is that we still have that little kid inside of us that we feel we want to be liked. And I know there are people that say, I don't care if they like. I don't care. But really, sometimes those people put that facade up because they do. And so because we have such strong emphasis there, we try to follow along with those habits and those behaviors that we feel will please others. When you and I were young, I'm going to take you way back, there was an Ice Cube song, Today Was a Good Day. And he says,
yes.
No barking from the dog, no smog, I'm going to cook the breakfast with no hug. I remember listening to that when I was young, and it was kind of funny. But as I got older and I changed my eating habits and some things I did, there are people that at Thanksgiving are going to go to Big Mama's house and say, Big Mama, I told you I don't eat pork, and she's going to pile that plate up anyway and tell you, oh, girl, you need some meat on your bones. You've been eating this, you grew up on, And, you know, we laugh about it, but you're not going to refuse it. You're just going to take it on your plate and go and sit down with an attitude. Why? Because you feel like, I don't want to hurt her feelings. I don't want to say to her, the doctor said I'm not supposed to eat pork. You know, I don't need to be eating chitlins. I don't want to express to her that, you know, I've changed my values to some of my religious beliefs and that's no longer who I am. And so even as an adult, sometimes we have those moments where there are people in our lives that make us feel like children, and we just quietly accept things. You know what I'm saying? That's one of the issues that we face, you know, because change requires us to adopt new habits and to have different roles within our relationship. And sometimes that's not a good thing, you know. So you have to say, you know, is this relationship or this habit or this activity really going to help me fulfill my goal? Now, I'm not telling you not to go to Big Mama's house for Thanksgiving. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm just using that example to show that sometimes even as adults, we still are placed in uncomfortable situations where we battle with change. And so the other thing, too, is sometimes we procrastinate because we don't want to change.
Mm.
Even when we know the change is good for us. You know, we all have that girlfriend that has dated that guy for 15 years, and she's just holding out and hoping and praying that he's going to change. You know, we laugh about it. There's even a popular meme, I think, of a skeleton sitting there saying, you know, waiting for my boyfriend to marry me. And we laugh about it, and it's funny, but we know sometimes the change is good for us. But we also are comfortable with the things that we know because change leads us in areas that are unknown. And we fear that sometimes.
Right. And when you think about every time, you know, and this definitely touches on domestic violence, and you hear the stories after the fact of the of leaving and how, I didn't feel like I was worthy. I didn't think anything would be better, or I thought that was the best that I could do. When the change happens and they move forward, it's like a relief and a depression because they're relieved that they finally did it, and then they're like depressed and upset that they should have done it a long time ago. Now they're going to do better, especially once they get to the point where they're on the leaving side, because then they see themselves as something of value.
Right. And then, too, sometimes we don't like to change, again, because we have established routines and habits that we don't want to let go of. You know, oftentimes, like you spoke of with domestic violence, you hear people leaving and they go back. Because, again, they have become comfortable with someone. And again, you know, people that usually are in situations of domestic violence, it is not normally a continual 24/7 thing. You know, it just maybe comes on at a certain point. And so those other times, you know, when there might not be turmoil, those are the portions of the relationship that they have become accustomed to and the habit or even just a sense of security. And so by having to step out into a new role, there's fear, you know, and like I said before, we all have that desire for security, whether it's physical or emotional. And so even though that physical security might not be there, that emotional security is there, even just by knowing that there's someone that for whatever reason, expresses to them on some level that they care about them. And so that's also another reason why you will see women continue to stay in those relationships. And again, as I stated before, a lot of that comes to your own self-worth, your own self-love, and some of the patterns. When they look at studies of domestic violence victims, typically that was something that they also experienced as a child, whether it was something that they used. Or you know, in other ways. And so oftentimes those patterns continue to exist and people become comfortable with them because, again, change is something that we are reluctant to do. We are naturally creatures of habit and we don't always like to change, even when we know what's good for us.
Oh, yeah, you know, change is the only constant. There's always going to be some form of change happening somewhere at some point in your life. You're going to have to change your route because there's construction. You're going to have to change how you enter the building. You're going to have to change your desk. You maybe have to change your job title. There's always going to be some change, and it's just a matter of accepting the change, acknowledging, accepting, and moving on, or just standing there paralyzed at, you know, the
right.
change. So speaking of that, how can your individual break the negative pattern of stress and the and issues in their lives? Especially, let's say they're standing there paralyzed at some upcoming change that is going to be beneficial to them. How can your book help them?
First of all, you know, when you focus on yourself, you decrease the power that you're giving others over your life. And so by doing that, you strengthen your inner voice and your self-esteem to a level that you gain the skills to conquer even bigger obstacles. You know, all of us have that inner voice. For a lot of us, depending on, you know, your home environment or maybe your relationship, sometimes that inner voice can even speak negatively to you. You know, I think I heard Les Brown once say, you know, there's no enemy without that's greater than the enemy within. In other words, sometimes we are our own worst critic. But by addressing our own strengths, our own weaknesses, doing some exercises to really get to the root of some of the patterns that we exhibit, some of the ways that we can change, that gives us the strength to conquer small goals. You know, like we talked earlier about the example with the roles at Golden Corral. You know, I wouldn't advise anyone your first week on your diet to go in there if that's your weakness. But, again, once you've dieted successfully for 6 months to a year, you may have the strength to resist the temptation because, you know, your emotional muscles, just like your physical muscles, they grow too. You know, if you decided today that you were going to do 20 push-ups every day, you might struggle at first, but, you know, after a while, you're going to see some definition in your arm. You're going to notice some firmness. And let's say 6 months from now, somebody said, I bet you couldn't do 50 push-ups. You may have struggled tonight with doing just 10, but in 6 months, you probably could easily do 50. What has happened? Well, your strength has increased, but also your stamina has increased. And we have to recognize that we even have emotional stamina. You know, our emotional development kind of operates in the same manner. And so we conquer small goals, and then we gain the courage to say, okay, well, let's move on to this. And you gain more courage. Let's move on to this. And eventually we're able to make bigger changes. But change sometimes for a lot of people is small. But even by taking that first step, it's still a step in the right direction. And I think that that's something that we forget about. We think, you know, oh, I have to lose 50 pounds. It's never going to happen. Okay, well, let's make the first step and start toward losing one. That's one less. Now you're down to 49 pounds. And I'm speaking of weight because that's something I battle with. I don't know about you. But, again, just by taking that first step, you're one step closer to your goal. But if you decide to give up and not
right.
do anything, you'll never get there. And you know,
right.
the journey of a thousand steps begins with the first one. You know, even that baby step will get you there.
Right. And as you were talking about that, the thing that popped into my head is, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time?
Right.
So how do you tackle your goals? Like one,
right.
one step at a time. Your goal is, I want to lose this, but that's the overarching goal.
Right.
The path to that goal has many steps, and this, yeah, you have to do it, and you can't
right.
and you can't be all at one. Great.
No, nothing,
now
nothing great is easy. You know, if you really want to accomplish a major goal, it's going to take some work. And what you'll find is that, believe it or not, there are fewer people that strive to change than those who decide to just continue to remain constant. You know, that saying,
right.
it's lonely at the top. You know, we joke about it, but people that are at the top, they don't just wake up one day and say, oh, I'm going to be at the top. They decide to put in the work. You know, when other people may be sleep or maybe partying or maybe having fun, you know, they're putting in work, they're staying up, they're on their grind, they're on the hustle, as the young people like to say, and eventually it pays off. And one thing that I think we don't realize is sometimes we look at people, even, you know, in entertainment, and people say, oh, you know, they're not talented, they're not this. But behind the scenes, you realize they do a lot of work for, you know, the money and the accolades that they receive. And I think that oftentimes people say, I don't want to put in the work. Once they, you know, things are uncovered and they see all that it's not all so cracked up as they want it to be. It's not all fun. It does take work. And that's what we have to realize. Right.
I'm going to ask if there's any questions, any comments that you have. Use pound one. I see 614 area code. Do you have any questions? Or the 785, area code 785. If you have any questions, please press the pound one. We would love to hear from you. How is this affecting you? How? What are you getting out of it? Are you taking notes? Give us some information, this opportunity to get some feedback, have a conversation with Dr. Luster about some of your obstacles that you're trying to overcome. Okay, so now we've got the seven steps. Give us the seven steps one more time.
Okay, so the first step, identify the problem. Step two, and you can write this down, include your contribution. Step three, identify or isolate your strengths and your weaknesses. Step four, develop your strategy. Step five, determine your support. Step six, designate your steps. And step seven, celebrate your success.
Great. Now,
so those are step steps.
What? How should people go about recognizing what they need to change first? That's the first part of the question. So how should they go about recognizing what they need to change?
Well, I think really they need to stop and think about what area is causing them the biggest problem. You know, back to what we were discussing earlier, you know, with losing weight, for example. For some people, it's because they want to look good. For others, it may be a physical, you know, issue, maybe something with the doctor, et cetera. So sometimes we have to stop and think about, well, what's most important right now? You know, what issue in my life is causing me the most problems? And it might not be something that you could tackle completely head on, but I think it's good to identify it because sometimes
right.
that problem itself has a lot of other effects that go along with it that are causing problems, and we might think, oh, I have all these problems, and really you just have one problem, and it's causing a lot of other things to go wrong. You know, for example, if you found out tomorrow that you lost your job, for some people that might be a problem because you say, well, now, you know, I've got to take care of my children, I've got to pay my bills, I've got to, you know, buy food, I've got et cetera, et cetera. And so you feel like you have all of these different problems, but the real main problem is you don't have a job, if you get what I'm saying. And
mm-hmm.
so,
right.
you know, by scrambling, well, how am I going to buy food? Well, how am I going to pay my car note? Well, how am I going to pay my mortgage? Really, if they stop and say, you know what, I'm going to focus on getting a job because by solving that one problem, I can address all these other issues that are a result of that problem. So sometimes it helps to do that. Oftentimes, too, we have to recognize by looking at our strengths and our weaknesses, where am I personally? Am I really able to handle
mm-hmm.
this? And so sometimes it helps to look at a smaller problem and to solve that.
Mm-hmm.
And then to gain your emotional stamina to where you can move on to a bigger problem. You know, like I said before with the Golden Corral example, you know, you might be able to sit there, but I know I'm not ready. So I'm not going there. I'm not even going to have a meeting there. We're going to go somewhere where they have a salad bar because I'm not emotionally equipped to handle being in that setting, if you understand what I'm saying. You look
right,
at people that
right.
may have had drinking problems, for example, and, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous, they tell people you shouldn't go into a bar. There are some people that can go in and drink water because they've been in the program for 15 or 20 years. But a person that just attended their first meeting, no, I wouldn't advise you to go and have a business meeting somewhere where they're serving alcohol. So, again, by identifying your strengths and weaknesses and being honest with yourself. You know, one of the things what we fall short is we tend to focus on what other people might think or focus on how others mm-hmm. might view us. But you have to be honest with yourself and have the courage to say, you know, no, Carla, we can't have a business meeting and go to Corral Girl because, you know, those roles, they call me. And the butter just ends up in my hand and I'm eating two or three of them. You know, you have to be honest enough to say that. And sometimes we're embarrassed
right.
and we don't want to do that. But you have to keep it real. You have to be honest enough to admit, this is where I fall short. This is a problem for me.
Right.
And until I'm strong enough to handle it, then I'm going to develop some strategies that can help me to overcome that problem. And that's
right.
sometimes the you know, the outlook we have to take on that.
Now, they need some assistance and encouragement. Are you available to assist and encourage them? And how would you do that?
Yes, I am. I can encourage them. If they go to my website and they subscribe, I send out inspiring messages on a regular basis. And also, I provide coaching services. I also speak, and I also have publications there that they can use that can assist them. Even my fictional novel would be considered inspiring fiction because it deals with talking about, you know, some issues that people face and how they can overcome them. And even though it's a historical fiction, I've had a lot of people give me feedback, some strangers actually, people that I know that are friends of friends, you know, write me or even tell me, you know, this really changed my life. I was able to identify with the characters. Sometimes that's important for us to just recognize that we're not in it alone. So, yes, I'm here to help. Again, you can email me. You can subscribe on my website. You can reach out to me on Facebook because I'm here to offer those services because that's my goal in life. You know, once I got a second chance at life, I made a vow that I would spend the rest of my life trying to help others avoid some of the pitfalls that I endured. You know, people looked at me and they said, oh, you're successful. You know, you've been to college, you raised your kids, and you're an educator and so on and so forth. But I realized that I spent a lot of my time focusing on what other people thought and trying to live my life according to how other people might view me. And when you face not having a life and you get a chance at, you know, continuing your life, you recognize that those things really are not important. What's important to you is how you serve and how you give to others. And that's really my focus.
Wow, that is amazing. So you also mentioned that you at a event with, and Les Brown was on the program. Tell me a little bit about that.
Actually, I spoke, I did a live stream in Maryland a few months ago, and it was, we had about 100,000 viewers. It was through Black Belt Speakers and Black CEO, directed by Dr. Ruben West, and I spoke there, and I talked about my experiences, and I got a lot of positive feedback. And again, as I said before, I was so fearful of sharing my story. But once I shared it, I kind of took away the power that the fear had. And I was also embraced by a lot of people that said that it inspired them. And so if I can help someone, I think that makes it all, you know, worthwhile. And so by sharing the stage with, you know, Les Brown, one of the world's greatest speakers, that in itself was just a, you know, a lifelong dream. But I never would have had the courage to take that step if I hadn't really looked at what have I contributed through my life, what have I given. And so just by having the time to look at and reflect on my life and to really do some, you know, inner work on myself as to how I wanted my life path to change, that gave me the courage to take that step out and to, you know, get on the motivational speaking circuit and to, you know, write books and novels that will help people. That is my goal.
It's awesome. We're down to our last 5 minutes. Now, if there's anyone on the line that has a question, please click #1. Someone had a question. When I went to answer to put them on live, they hung up. So sad. So if you have a question, comment, you want to talk about an obstacle that you would like to have Dr. Lester look into, give us more information. Could you give us your contact information one more time?
Sure. You can email me at drluster777@yahoo.com. You can follow me on Twitter at DrLuster777, or you can also friend me on Facebook as Adria Jones Luster, and that is A-D-R-I-A Jones Luster, L-U-S-T-E-R. My website is also www.adrialuster.com. I wanted to mention also that I will be speaking next week in Charlotte, North Carolina, for the Black Belt Speakers Conference, and my presentation will be on creating a curriculum that enhances your product. And I also will be co-authoring a book with the motivational speaker Cheryl Wood, and it is a book titled Women Inspiring Nations, and it is a compilation of stories from women that have taken a look at their lives and wanted to inspire others through their stories so that they can continue on the life path of motivating other women towards success.
That sounds very interesting. So when is that book expected to hit the stands?
That book will be hitting the stands in November, in another month or so. And so I wanted to mention it. And it will also be available for sale on my website as well as soon as it is released.
Oh, great. So let's look at what has transpired. You was knocking on death's door.
Yeah.
You actually shut the door, put a lock on it, put a gate up, put 2-3 walls up, and walked away and said, you know what? The Lord has blessed me to live again, so I'm going to help others change their lives. So on your third book, you are definitely utilizing it as a motivational opportunity for not just the people that you know that have obstacles, but those who may not know that they have obstacles or adversity or things that they want to overcome. Then you are a speaker who is motivating the masses and will be motivating the masses yet again in Charlotte, North Carolina. What day would that be?
That will be next weekend, so it will be September 29th and 30th and October 1st.
Awesome.
And that will be again the
Are there
Belt.
Any and could you tell us a little bit about Black Belt if there's anyone interested in that program?
Sure. Black Belt Speakers is an organization founded by my friend, almost like a brother to me, Dr. Reuben West, and it's grown, it's multiplied, and just exponentially, actually, to include a lot of people who are interested in having that one goal of motivating people to change their lives. That's really what we are here to do. And so at the conference, again, you can still get tickets. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a link there. At the conference, they talk to you and they give you steps. They provide you with strategies to try to work on becoming the person that takes charge of your life. You know, you might say, well, I don't want to be a motivational speaker. I just want to work on myself. You still can be equipped with the tools to do that as well, because by being a better person, you will live a better life. And that's something that we need to remember.
Right. Yes, definitely. So, listen, I am so excited to have been in your circle. And every time I go to a restaurant and I start ordering, I just laugh. And I remember my nickname, Sora on the Side. But I am so blessed to have known all you women and to know that, you know, you are continuing to change lives, even though it's not in the original capacity of working with children. Now you've moved on to adults as well, which, you know, our children will be one day. So we just want to make sure that we are continuing and helping with your legacy. So we are down to our last little 30 seconds. If you can give us an inspiring thought in 20 seconds.
I want to inspire you. Don't wait till you're looking at your bucket list. Make the change today. This is Dr. Adria E. Luster. I'm here to serve and I'm here to help. Thank you for having me on the show, and I look forward to coming back.
Listen, thank you for being on the show, and I'm so excited that I was your first radio interview.
Thank you.
So, yes,
appreciate
you're welcome. So we're going to close
back.
Out.
All right. Live your best
life.
All right.
To thinkbigradio.com.
Thank you.
Bye. Where big thinkers come
Bye-bye.
To teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.